It's the ABCs High School Teachers Really Need to Know, Season 4, Episode Number 2, Boulevard of Broken Dreams. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe, or buy the books on Amazon.com. How about that? A little bit of a shout out to Green Day. I don't know if you like Green Day or listen to their music. I happen to like them, and I happen to like that song a lot, and its own point for today's topic, of which I will share with you in just a minute. Hope you're doing well. I'm so glad that you're back and with us this week in the program. Hope your semester is rocking and rolling, as I always say. So yeah, this week's episode, Boulevard of Broken Dreams. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but have you ever asked yourself, you know, what role do I play as an educator, or does my school play in helping students sort of achieve the dream or the goals that they want to achieve? And I think that's a really great question, particularly today. And I have seen interviews with, you know, people that are successful or students, and the question's always the same, you know, do you feel like school helped you succeed? And you know, it's a mixed bag, but I no matter what they say or would say, I'm going to tell you, educators and schools do play a huge role in sort of shaping who you become and how successful you're going to become. And a lot of times that impact is great, and sometimes it's not as great, but it certainly impacts it, and not just on the academic side, but also on sort of that social side, the socialization and sports and all the other things that sort of go along with growing up in a K-12 education system. And that certainly continues in college. So that question that I asked a minute ago, and that's, you know, what is the role that you play in sort of helping kids achieve their goals and their dreams? And I want you, as an effective teacher, to be able to really, in a resounding way, say, yes, I play a huge role in at least in my piece of that journey while they're with me, in helping them become successful by whatever means they define success. I think that's really, really important. And I think it's important for their career, for them, whether they want to be an accountant or a physician or a musician or a famous athlete who has accomplished all of this. You know, I think no matter where they are on that spectrum, you need to have played a role in that time with you in helping them find relevance in what you're teaching, and also finding connection, you know, in their own goals and in their own journey. And I think that's a challenge. I really do. But I think it's one that we as educators need to certainly try to meet more often than we not meet it, right? And look, again, this is, and I talk about the system all the time and controlling what you can control. Look, in a world where the academic system is highly plagued with politics and money issues and access, but also coupled with the woes of technology and just life, right? In today's world, it seems like it's out of our hands. But again, I always get you to try to control what you can control, and sort of in your own microcosm of your classroom, or if you're a coach in your gym or whatever the setting may be, that you make a positive impact and play a role in that journey. And I think that that's sort of the challenge that I'm offering you to really think about. How do you help students achieve those things, no matter what they are? Again, musician, physician, doesn't matter. What do you play for those students? And I think that's really important in a secondary culture, in a secondary sort of academic setting where kids are, you know, now reaching 14 years old, 15, 16, 17, 18, and sort of that pendulum shifts more, that burden shifts more to where they're taking more and more control and responsibility, but also making sort of those big decisions that are starting to really impact them. They need us to help them sort of frame that and be a resource for them so they can help or get help and then help themselves by putting themselves in position to achieve whatever it is that they're seeking to achieve. And so as they get older, that responsibility becomes more and more important on us. And that burden also is on us to perform at a level that helps them help themselves, right? So again, I just think that's really important. And so this week's episode is all about dreaming. And if we don't do a good job of doing what I've said, and that's really being a resource for them and helping them sort of paint that beautiful picture that they're trying to paint with their own journey, with their own life, we sort of risk sort of sending them down that boulevard of broken dreams where, you know, they don't achieve or they underperform because we haven't put them in the position to the best of our ability, right? Because ultimately, we know it's up to them. But it's not all up to them. We have a role to play. And that's, again, if you truly believe, as I do, that we as educators, you know, have a huge impact on those we serve. We've got to help them achieve, again, no matter what that dream may be. So we have to do that. So how do we do that? And that's a great question. And I'll tell you one of the things that will move the needle the most. I really, just being honest with you, again, this may be a little bit doomsday-ish. I feel like I was kind of that way last week, so I don't want to just build on top of that. You guys are going to be like, man, he's going through something this season. I don't mean it that way, but I just really feel it. I feel like it's getting harder and harder to be honest with our kids. And that's because I think it's harder to be honest with our parents. And what I'm saying is that we as educators, if we want to help our kids sort of meet their dreams and sort of meet their goals, at least put them in a position, better position to do so, we have to be truth tellers. They have to depend on us to tell the truth. And I think a lot of times students and parents, at least today, don't want to hear the truth. They may convince themselves that they do, but a lot of times they don't. And really, if you want to look at parents and say, well, they don't ever want to hear the truth, you know, I'll also say this. How could they want to hear the truth? They've been lied to so many times by a system and by the world saying that their kids are all fantastic from the standpoint of ability in this area or that area. They're all incredible athletes. Everybody gets a trophy. And as I've said, and I said this last week, it's getting harder and harder to differentiate kids and give them meaningful feedback on where they are in the learning process. And so, yeah. Students and parents, it's becoming harder to be honest with them. And so what we can do as educators, as coaches, and I mean coaches inside the classroom is what I mean by that. Not just, I'm not talking about just athletic coaches, but as individuals, educators, professionals who want to see our students develop and continue to make progress, one of the best things you can do for them is to be a truth teller. Now, I want you to understand now, and I say this all the time, that does not mean you crystal ball. You know, you do not know the future. They don't know the future. Be very careful telling kids, parents, etc., any stakeholder, that this is going to happen or this is not going to happen. You don't know that. So a kid may not be in a certain place right now, but that doesn't mean they won't get there. Instead, I focus on being a resource. I focus on being a truth teller and focus on telling them ways to improve and then letting the chips sort of fall where they're going to fall. But I think a lot of times, again, we just don't speak the truth. We sort of, you know, someone says, just I hear this all the time, just being in science, I want to be a physician, but say this is a kid who, you know, doesn't like biology, doesn't score well in chemistry, or hasn't taken this class or that class, and doesn't have a work ethic. I'm not going to say you won't become a physician, because again, I don't know the future. I don't know how you'll change and the steps you'll take. But what I can do is say, look, this is where we're at. This is what we need to do to improve, and we've got to be able to achieve these things in order to put ourselves in position to sort of meet that goal. Otherwise, again, we risk sending them down that boulevard of broken dreams where they have these hopes and these dreams and they never meet them because there was not an adult, an educator, right there telling them, this is what we need to do in order to help you achieve it. We can do better than that. And parents really do want the truth. When it's not mixed in with a bunch of lies. We've got to get out of the business of not being honest with our kids. It's absolutely terrible. I just, it bothers me. I think a lot of times we're selling our kids and parents and families snake oil. I really do, by not telling them. You know, it's we've got to be honest. And look, I see a lot of that in athletics, you know, as well. Just being honest, as somebody who's coached a long, long time, I see it. I see coaches not tell the truth about where kids are. And it's tragic to me. And I see a lot of parents who, you know, think their kids are perfect because no one's ever been honest with them. You know, I said in an earlier episode, it may have even been last week, the days were running together for me, but I had made the point that, you know, sometimes when a parent's talking about their kid, and this can be on the good side of the spectrum or the bad side of the spectrum, whatever, but they're talking about, I'm like, are we talking about the same kid? And so why situations like that occur is simple, because there's not enough honesty. There's not enough truth telling. And look, that's really hard when there's a lot of people speaking untruth into the lives of these kids and families. And so we have to do our part by telling the truth. You know, we can control what we can control. And I'm going to focus on making sure I teach my kids to think. I'm going to make sure that my classroom is a place where real life lessons and real life application is routine. It's not an exception to the rule, where I'm going to help my kids see their strengths and weaknesses, because I know that it's not good enough. I'm underserving them if I don't help them see both strengths and weaknesses. You know, we can't just accentuate the positive, though that's important and you have to do that. We have to also attack these weaknesses. We have to. We have to make our classrooms relevant to every kid we possibly can. And that means if they want to be an NFL athlete and they're sitting in your biology room, or they're sitting in trigonometry and they don't know why they're doing sine and cosine or why they'll ever need it because they're going to go into their dad's construction business. We have to be able to connect that for them, both on the soft skills and the academic skills. Meaning, all right, you may not do this, but this type of thinking is going to help you. You know, and we have to connect that. We have to then give them feedback that's meaningful. We have to be honest with them. We can't sugarcoat. Our job is to focus on developing our kids, teaching them to think. And along the same sort of line of being honest and the importance of that, I think we also need to understand that we need to set high expectations, high standards. You know, one of the worst things that we do is attempt to lower standards because everybody doesn't meet sort of that high standard. Well, that's the point of calling it a high standard, right? Because it's a high standard because we know everyone won't meet that standard, right? It wouldn't be high if everyone met it. And so it's amazing to me as sometimes, you know, some people say, I don't understand why he struggled. Well, it's a high standard. It's a high expectation. There's going to be a spectrum because if everybody met it, it's a low standard, right? And I think, and my point in saying that is, you know, a lot of times teachers, educators, we're so tempted to sort of lower our standards or to give 2 or 3 points because, you know, we think that this is going to make our lives easier and make the students' life easier. And while sometimes that can be true, it is never a good idea to lower your standards and just across the board. It is never a good idea to settle for, you know, underperformance, because it just doesn't breed the habits and the consequences that you want. Now, and I'm being very general. I know there are some scenarios that crop up, yes, but let's not nickel and dime. And I think a lot of times we do that. You know, we sort of have these genuine guidelines that we believe in, these values that we believe in. And then there's one scenario that comes up and we want to change the entire sort of belief or underlying guideline. And I don't want you to do that. Yes, everything is scenario based. All right. So there are exceptions. But again, high expectations, high standards, knowing that people are going to fall short of that standard because not everyone's at their best all the time. Nobody is. Perfection is an unattainable standard. But also keep in mind that when students fall short, that then gives us an opportunity to give them feedback and help them learn so that they can then meet that higher expectation or standard down the road. And number two, keep in mind that just because they don't mean it right now doesn't mean that they won't down the road. And again, that's the other thing that I'm always trying to drill into folks' heads, you know, and I say that very aggressively because it is so difficult because everybody thinks, and I hate when educators do this to themselves, but they think that the burden of learning and mastering every single concept is on them at this time. Listen, I have never taught that way. When I taught biology or AP chemistry or anything else, algebra, whatever, I did not, you know, go into it going, they have to learn that right now or else their life is ruined. And I hope that you don't put that burden on you. So set high expectations, set high standards, and when they don't meet them, be honest, be truth tellers about where they are, because they may not be where they need to be right now, but they will be eventually, or at least more inclined to, if you set a roadmap for them, believe that it's a process, and sort of point out places for them to improve. I just think we have, again, I know I'm like a broken record, but we have to be in the business of being honest with our students and with our parents. Because if you don't, you really, really are, just being honest with you, you're setting them up for failure. You're setting them up for disappointment. If they don't ever have the opportunity to get feedback and they're not hearing it and seeing it and then seeing on the other side of it, or the other side of the academic adversity, the fruits of having succeeded, and if they don't see the roadmap that you are helping them build because you've been honest with them and you haven't just said they're not going to achieve this or they are going to achieve that, but instead you lay out a roadmap to help them achieve it, help them get better, they begin to one, feel empowered, but two, feel like that it's obtainable because it's broken into sort of mini goals. And if they don't have people showing them that, and who better than the experts in education? That's the teachers, right? Us. You know, we are experts at child development, at the learning process. They need us. They need to leverage us so that we can do just that. Because if we don't tell them the truth, and if we, you know, crystal ball them, and if we're selling snake oil, and if they don't see value in what they're getting out of our classroom, I got news for you. You're absolutely setting them up for a boulevard of broken dreams. Well, that is it this week. Thank you again for joining us in this episode. Looking forward to next week. Hope you have a fantastic, it's an absolutely fantastic week. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe, or buy the books on Amazon.com. Thank y'all so much. Y'all are awesome.